tonight, Wedding Customs. It should be very interesting. So hopefully things you didn't know, because I certainly didn't know them. No, but you go to weddings, and you should know. One of the things we want to discuss, the first one, is probably the most famous of the customs we don't understand, and that is why some chassanim, especially in the yeshivish world, why do they wear a coat, a raincoat, a winter coat? The first reason that people give is it's a minhag tos, and in Europe, all weddings are supposed to be outside. Kach is the minhag, weddings should be outside. Nowadays, weddings are not outside, but they still took the minhag, right? This goes along with our famous many minhag shtus that people, the famous big shul that they had, where when they would say modim, everybody would turn around and do modim because they used to have modim on the back wall. Some say that the reason why they do gadlu, the reason why we do gadlu, gadlu Hashem iti, we bow, is because there used to be a chandelier. Different things like that. So that clearly cannot be the reason that that's the reason, because you have to find them yourself. What's very interesting is... What? Oh, right. So that has to... So we have to back up a step and understand what the mucker of why they're doing it is and why they say they do it. So I just want to say, first of all, what's so interesting to me is that Baruch Hashem, I came across in the past few weeks many Sefer Minhagim. One of them is in our shul, it's a great Sefer called Minhag Yisrael Torah by Rabbi Levi in Eretz Yisrael, and many other Sefer Minhagim, and Kimat, I didn't see it mentioned once. It was not mentioned why they wear. Piskei Tshuvos discusses so many different others. Modern day Tshuvos, quote modern day Poskim, nobody says anything about the famous Minhag. I spoke to some people who are yeshivish. And the reason that they gave is because of the kittel, to cover up the kittel. So let's understand for a moment what the minhag of the kittel is, and we'll learn together a fascinating tshuva relating to kittel. So as we know, kimat b'chol tzvusos Yisrael, I think the svarim don't follow this minhag, we wear a kittel. Us, b'nei, Orthodox, modern Orthodox, so it seems to be that we, at least the minhag that I've seen, is that we put the kittel on under the chuppah. So apparently that in the yeshivish circles, in the Hasidic circles, you're supposed to wear it down to the chuppah. So the question is that why does a chassan wear a kittel at all? So the first reason, and the reason that is most prevalent, is that it's supposed to remind them of Yom Misa. That, right? So some people say how apropos, and we'll see. We'll see in a moment. You're laughing, but we'll see a very nogea tshuva that relates to this, this idea. Many people, it seems, related this to Yom Misa. I think the battery's dead anyway, so it should be okay. So that's one of the reasons. So what does it mean relating to Yom Misa? So one of the reasons is because of the haughtiness that the chassan has now, right? Because on one hand, what do we say? The reason why he fasts because he's moichel kol avonos. Right? There's only three. The Gemara says there are three times when the Ribbono Shalom, for any reason, is mochel avonos, for a melech, and for a chassan was one of the reasons too, is for a chassan. So how can it be? So the chassan, so he's walking down the aisle, and he says, hey, remember me? I used to steal, I used to kill people, but I'm mochel kol avonos. So he shouldn't be so haughty. So say Yom Misa. Right? It reminds him of the Yom Misa Mamish. So what, you can be buried, tachwich, terrible. So therefore, if that's the reason, then it makes very, very sense, a lot of sense. So to walk down the aisle and to remind them of Yom Misa, so for some reason that's not so appropriate. So you're supposed to wear something over it. Lav Dafka has to be a raincoat. The interesting thing is also Lav Dafka doesn't have to be a kittel mamash. According to the second reason, is that we know that white signifies purity, and the chassan is mochel akol avonos, and that's one of the reasons he wears it. So the question is, in the poskim quote, that actually that is one of the reasons why the kala wears the dafka white dress, is also because of these two dual ideas. Some had brought the minhag, which is certainly not followed in the emekilas that I've seen, is that it shmecks from chukas ha'akam nowadays, because the goyim have accepted the minhag, which clearly they stole from us, which is to wear white dresses at the chuppah, and as we know, shouldn't even say it in a shul, what's their reasoning? It's the same thing, right? Why? Because the chuppah, their wedding, is purity. It's purity, right? And everybody jokes about the kala who's wearing, not the kala, but the geisha, the shiksa, who's wearing the white dress. Ah, well, she's wearing a white dress. But the point is what? The point is that some people said it's chukas akum. So that might be a little difficult. And I think the reason why nobody follows it is because chukas akum is defined not by things that you can't say they stole from us. Now they're lighting, we shouldn't light Hanukkah candles because the African Americans light Kwanzaa kenorahs, which they call kenorahs and not menorahs. So you can't say, you can't go that far. So that's probably the reason why. But what about the chasen? So some of the posts can say, Lav Dafkin has to be a kittel. He has to wear white. The Gemara says that the Talmidei Chacham used to wear white all the time. Maybe you've seen this in Yerushalayim, especially on Shabbos, where you have some Rabbanim who wear all white, or wear some white. This is the idea. We quoted in the Tisha B'Av Shir about the Tana quotes, Rabbi Yeshua, I think it was, who used to wear what, over the white shirt? Yeah, no, that's on Shabbos. That is wear the white shirt. That's the people who are against the blue shirts on Shabbos. Is for that reason, that white signifies purity, right? We know, at least my minhag, my entire life, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you always had to wear a white yarmulke, right? So that's one of the reasons. The white yarmulke, it's not a, right, it's funny because chas v'shalom, that you would ever see in the yeshivish community, the Hasidic community, they would wear white yarmulkes, right? They wear, it's interesting though, if you look at some of the rebbes, they wear the, so it's funny, that's the, right.
No,
they haven't yet. They have the bread. Right, so those yarmulkes they wear in Shabbos too, the sect of Hasidim that wears those, right? Revarlah, right. So that signifies this idea of purity, especially on Shabbos. So it's quoting the Gemara that says, we quoted on the Tisha B'Av Shir, Moshe quoted this about the Tana who used to wear all black all the time, Zecher and Yerushalayim. And they ask on the Gemara, wait, a Talmid Chacham supposed to wear white the whole time. That's what he says. He wore it in a mechubad dik away and it wasn't such a problem. So the white might not have to do with the kittel as much. However, if the reason is Yom Misa, so then obviously it has to do somewhat with Dafka wearing a kittel. The Kolbel quotes this as the reason why we're supposed to wear levanim. He doesn't say anything about a kittel. Many people don't quote the word kittel, is because to signify purity. As we said before, the Midrash says, the Nasi, the Chasim, and the Melech are all forgiven, and that's one of the reasons why, to signify that he's going to be forgiven. The Rabbaz writes as follows, Minhag Kadmon, right? It's an old Minhag, b'Mitzrayim, where he lived in Mitzrayim, b'Zman HaChupa, Lovshim, Lovan. He's supposed to wear white, again, doesn't say Kittel. Just like the Shabbos Shel Avelus, meaning the Shabbos that he's in Avel, or he's in Shiva, then it's a Shabbos Shel Eicha, so maybe Shabbos Chazon. Why? Because it's supposed to be gila berada, that a person, uminag yafeh, who he says. Gila berada, significant, we'll learn it later on, but on why we break a glass, but he's supposed to be very happy, but it has to be happiness through trembling. He shouldn't be so happy. You're not so oisgehalten, right? You're not such a great person. You have to realize it has to be on a low level. Yes, all your averus are forgiven, but a person needs to be careful not to take it too far. The chubas
covered up.
What?
That's why they cover
right,
up.
Right. So that might be the reason that he covers it up. Exactly. So that could be. So it could be a sum of both. The chubas Maharam Min says that the idea of gila berada too. So he says kidei lahaskir yom misa, to remind him of yom misa as well, to put him back down on the level that even though your averus are forgiven, you're getting married. There's a lot to keep in mind here.
So why only him, not her?
So she does wear white tagadim. Oh, why don't we cover it up with her? She mamish walks down. So maybe she's on a higher level. Maybe it's true that she doesn't have that same haughtiness. Or maybe because it's dafka not a kittel, so maybe if he wore a suit, we wouldn't say he has to cover it up. That the kittel itself really reminds us of Yom Misa. This is a dual reason on Yom Kippur as well, right? What's the reason you wear a kittel on Yom Kippur? You have both of those reasons. On one hand, he's a malach. He's on such a heightened level, he's going to be mechaper levonis. On the other hand, this could be a bad day for you. So, right, and we also have by Pesach, it's the same thing. So even the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch quotes this, and he says, the Levishas HaKittel, so he writes the word Kittel, Hu Zichron Liyom Misa, then a person should be Yisorei B'Tshuva. Right? That he should realize, that even though he's Mechaper Lavonos, right, one of the reasons why the Chasan and Kala davens under the Chuppah is not only for other people, right? I remember under my Chuppah, so Rav Goldrich was my Masada Kedushin, so he said, the first thing you should do, this he said right under the chuppah, the first thing you should daven for yourself, right? People have the custom, Baruch Hashem, because It's Ke'ilu Mamar Har Sinai. The chuppah is it's a very, very heightened state to the point where there are Rabbanim. I was very embarrassed when Rav Golach asked me to give him a bracha. Right? Another Rabbanim came up to me. Because of a chassan on his day of the chuppah, if he's going to be forgiven for his sins, he's on a very, very high level. And that's why people ask you, please daven for me in certain situations. So he pointed out that you have to be careful. You have to daven for yourself first. A person's going to spend all of his time davening and not ask to have healthy kids and not ask to have shalom bayis. So that's what he said. He goes, and if you have a little time, my name is Rav Meir. He says, my name is Meir Ben Yehudis. You know, if you could daven a little bit for me. So that's the idea. So now I want to quote this fascinating tshuva of the Maharam Shik. It is an unbelievable shaila, which I think we can assume what the answer will be. And he says as follows. The Maharam Shik was asked in Eben HaEzer Siman Peches. Somebody approached him, who davened in a Kilos Kodesh Orthodox him, an Orthodox shul, and he was marrying someone v'nei Kilos Nishadech im Echad Miha Conservative. Even in those days. V'zeh Rotze Dafka Hagam Ki Kol HaSidra Kedushin Yisrael Kenoik. That they were, the family were not Dafkinics. They said, make it a firm wedding. Have it wherever you want. We have no problem. However, Aval L'chol HaPachos. Akol Panim Lo Yilbishu Hachasan Et HaKittel. He cannot wear the Kittel Keminhag, the Orthodox. Right? The kittel, that's, as you said, what a yom misa. That's what you're reminding us of, right? That's what you're saying, right? The death do us part. So, what? Right. Apparently they didn't know. He minak zeh, lahem, right? So he says, that, and if you don't, if you're going to be makan on the kittel, you're going to get married in our temple with our rabbi, so on and so forth. So, this rub apparently thought this was a pretty simple shayla. So, apparently he asked the wrong person. I don't know who to ask. Maharam Shik says, these people clearly don't even understand what the real reason for this. And he writes, Minhag zeh, shehu os bris ava, bein hazug, ad hamavis, ki mak hamavis yofer dinehem. It's a beautiful reason. The white is symbolizing Yom Misa, yes, on one hand, but what Yom Misa? Yom Misa of the bris ava, the right, we just had the tubav, this bris of ahava that they have, that no other person has, right? Chas v'shalom, you should say, you know, that when a chassan and kala gets married, even his love of his mother is not the same as his love with his wife. And the only thing that is going to break that love, Rachman al son, is the day that he dies. And he continues, and he says, wait a minute, that, yes, part of it is a haughtiness aspect of what? Again, back to the chassan and kala. He has a lot of responsibilities now. He's not the man of the house. He's not the king of the house. He is, obviously, but he has to recognize that his wife also is important as well. And he can't be so hoardy about being the king of the house. He doesn't use the word king. Furthermore, seeing about kings, he tells the story of the town when he used to live. I never heard of this town, Be'elchish, which apparently was a big town that had a king. And the king summons the Maharam Shik and said, do me a favor. I heard about your weddings. They're so amazing, right? The shmorg, unbelievable. I want you to have a wedding in my palace, but you have to be makpid to do all the minhagim you do. I want to see what's a wedding. So Maharam Shik didn't think this was the basin, didn't think there was any problem with this. As we know, we don't often get married in shuls. In fact, we discourage getting married in shuls. They said, fine. And they did every single custom. And when they, specifically, this king came over to the Maharam Shik and he said, and that minhag of a kittel, matzachin beinehem, right? He said, that's a very nice minhag. So if the Goyish king even likes it, how can they be against this? And then he says, v'al kol einai ha-torah ha-minhag hazu is yisadr v'koach, and just as the Orachaim, the Magen Avraham says, sham de'ein, he says in the Magen Avraham says in Tof Reish Sadik, Sham de'ein levatel shum minhag, afilu minhag kila achas. This is obviously not, and he goes on and basically say, and he quotes other tshuvas, that this is something that you have to follow. B'chol tfutzos, it was something that was followed, and it's very inappropriate not to follow it, to the point where he asked it for the specific case. In fact, who is the Maharam Shik? The Maharam Shik was was a Talmud of the Chassam Sofer. So a further story is told about the Maharam Shik, and this is a great story, that a parents approached him, and parents said, we have a big problem. Not a big problem, but a problem. Maybe the Maharam Shik can help us. Our son doesn't like this whole minhag of the kittel. He doesn't want to wear a kittel. Can you talk to him, explain to him the importance of the minhag? So instead of this whole tshuva that we just saw, what did he say to him? He says, I don't know. The kid comes in and he says, I don't know what to tell you. You don't want to wear a kittel here. I can't really tell you anything other than I'll tell you what my Rebbe said. My Rebbe had a very similar case to yours. And the chassan didn't want to wear it, and the chassam sofer sat with him and he said, if you don't put the kittel on right now, you will put the kittel on next week. When? When you die. So that chassan put the kittel on and this chassan put the kittel on. So there's a very strong minhag to do that. But to go as far as to say that how far does it go? Again, this other minhag, the source of the second minhag, right? I'm not so sure the Maharam Shik would be so against to say that you have to wear a jacket or whatever it is. But parenthetically, I saw once at a wedding, unbelievable, the chassan, right, so you have a lot of times, it's a clash. Wedding is always a clash. Because you have a kid that went to Israel for 2 years, and he comes back, and he thinks he knows everything, and he's getting married a few years later, and he's got all these wacko minhagim. And comes the chassan, and now the chassan is in a trip because his shoes are untied. His tie, I don't know if you've ever seen this, his tie is untied, all these different things. So I was once at a wedding, I couldn't believe it. So the chassan and kala, so first he made his father, the chassan, wear a black hat, the father didn't want to wear. Second, and more importantly, the chassan walked down with the raincoat, right? He took the raincoat off, and under the chuppah was sitting his kittel, and he put the kittel on. So that is not a minhag, that's a minhag shtus. The minhag was, he didn't know. He knew that the chassan puts the kittel on every wedding he's been at. That's like, why was he wearing the raincoat then? So that's got to be the reason. It used to be raining outside. So that can't be. So what we see is, based on the raincoat and the coat idea, it has to be the idea of Yomisa, so we don't want to remind him. And once he gets to the chuppah, why they didn't do what it seems to be, if we could say it's a minhag kaddush, what we do at our weddings, is makes a lot of sense. So instead of having him walk down the aisle, so we make him put it on by the chuppah. So that's not such a bad idea. So that's minhag number one. So clearly the kittel is a minhag. Again, I don't think the Maharam Shik would have been against it if it was a good source, meaning if he was from Bnei Sfard and they don't wear kittel, so I don't think he would have gone so crazy. But this specific case, because just to show that they didn't, this is the height of when they were coming in, that they didn't like the kittel because of some reason, because they didn't understand it, so let them understand what a kittel is. That's number one. The second is, what was it, broken dinnerware. Right? The glasses, breaking the glass, and breaking the plate by the Shtar Tanayim, and putting the ashes on. So you all know this is a very similar halacha, which we mentioned a few weeks ago in Zecher L'Chorban. The Shulchan Aruch says, like this, that, Kishe HaChasen Nosi Isha, when he gets married, Lokeach Ofer, he's supposed to put Osbar, and he's supposed to put it on his head, B'mokom HaNachas Tefillin. Right? We said, Te'er and Ofer, similar words, Haggah, and the Ramah says, the Yesh Makomos, Shenoagim, Lishbur Kos, Bishas HaChuppah, right? O Lassim Mapa Shechora, O Shar Dibri Avelis, Berosh HaChasen. So either what they did was they broke the glass, or they used to put some sort of black shmata on his head to remind him of Zichron Yushalayim. V'chol Elu, Hadvarim, Kedei Lahaskiris, Yerushalayim, Shneamar Mishkachechu, Shalayim, Lo Le'es, Yushalayim, Aroz, Simchasi. The Dafka, as we know, this is only done at a chuppah. The realization, and what we should recognize is that Yom Chuppah is the highest level of Simcha, right? It's not the Bar Mitzvah, and it's not the Bas Mitzvah, right? And it's not even the Ofrah, but this is the highest level. And at that, there has to be some Zichron Yushalayim. That, many say, that's the Rosh of the Simchasi. So the question is, when the Ramah says, V'yesh Mekom HaShenog U'lishbar Kos, is he basically abolishing this minhag of offer up barosh? Right? So, and that's the question nowadays. Some people do it. It seems to be that those that follow the minhag, which was made very popular, the Rav always put ashes on the chassan. This is the minhag of many of the Rosh Yeshiva in YU, simply because this is what the Rav did. a member of Aaron Salvechik as well, so he was makbid on this as well. And as I pointed out before as well, there are some Rabbanim who actually get to offer from Yerushalayim. Right? I think I pointed out in the Tisha B'Av Shir that Rav Goldberg is able to obtain from Yeshivat HaKotel, from where the Kohen Gadol used to live, all the way in the downstairs, there is offer that they found that apparently either were from Karbonos or Nebuch, from Zichron Yerushalayim, from Mamish, from the ashes, and they combine those ashes with other ashes anew, and this is Mamish real offer of Zichron Yerushalayim. And there the Mishnah Berurah says Lishpor Kos B'Shasa Chuppah. So the Mishnah Berurah says V'Zehi Gamkein Hatam Shel Shviras Kli B'Shas Kesivas Hatanayim. This is why a kli, we're not sure what type of kli, is broken during the Tanayim.
Yeah.
From the Yeshivat HaKotel.
But
what were the ashes from? That there were ashes there that they found when they did excavation. They're not sure. That's the Shiloh. It could be from Karbanos. The stomach would make sense. But they say it's from Korban Abayas.
At worst it's from there.
At worst it's from there. It's like the dirt. The dirt that they
told me when I, he was also my Mishaki.
Yeah?
Yeah, it actually came from like a marketed package. It was like, you know,
oh, really?
It said like, offer me.
No, my, get out of here.
I promise you. It came like a little pack, a little pack.
Really?
And he said this is actually from underneath the Kotel walls. That's where he like.
On the, I thought he said from Yeshiva.
No, he said underneath the Kotel walls.
Really?
That's where he got it. No, I'm saying
it
was like a little bag. Turn off the tape.
That's like the, you know, the air.
Yeah.
The air from Yeshiva.
And I'm trying to think where he did it. He did it after he came like into the, you know, into like the little room. Like,
yeah,
the
when he gives you a bracha.
Yeah,
so it's funny, when I got married,
so
one of the, Rav Aaron Salvechik was supposed to be my Masada Kedushin. It didn't work out, they got a little lost on the way, but, so before I wanted to ask to make sure I had all the stipulations. For example, the Eidim had to be at the Chuppah, it's not very easy. So Rav Aaron held, he used to hold that they have to hold from Chadash. So Baruch Hashem, he didn't hold from that, the famous story I might have related before. At a wedding in Chicago, a big Rav was, they were scared because the Rav Aaron was being Masada Kedushin, so they had one of the biggest Rabbanim in Chicago, who was Masada, who was got the Eiding Chuppah, and he gets up there, and the Rav Aaron wasn't one to be quiet, and there was a microphone, and he said, Rabbi so-and-so, are you Makbid on Yoshem? He says, no, Rabbi, I'm not on that level yet. He says, no problem. He says, we have Eidim, many, many Eidim, just make a Shavua now, that for the rest of your life you hold from it. So this Rav told the story when Rav Aaron passed away that till today he kept that because he was embarrassed, but through that he was a Harei B'Tshuva. Anyway, so by my shasana, so he didn't hold from that anymore, but what did he did hold from? So you know the Briskers aren't big fans of Eruvs, any Eruvs. And furthermore, so they have a very interesting shita, to say the least, that as long as a Rishus HaRabim, let's give you the example. I always think of this. I don't know why. Staten Island, I always think of. So you have a highway. The highway is obviously Rishus HaRabim. Nobody disagrees with that. But it, as long as the off-ramp connects to the highway, so they don't hold from that either. The truth is that it's not really it doesn't really matter because they don't hold anyway from any type of. So Rav Aaron held that the two Eidim had to be people who never held from Eruv in their life, who never carried in their life. So who are you going to find? So people live in Brooklyn. So I found somebody who lived in Washington Heights. I found somebody who lived in Washington Heights, and I found a Rebbe of mine who, when I asked initially, I said, does, you know, the Rav hold from the Eruv? So he thought I was asking a political question. He says, well, you know, I go, no, I need you to be the Eidim. He goes, okay, I don't hold from the Eruv. So that was easy. So one of the other things is I asked about, as we know, the other brisker shita, you have to wear a hat. They said, oh, and what about offer? Does the Rav hold from offer? Yes, you have to do offer. But he held an interesting shita. I'm not sure why, and maybe I misunderstood it, like apparently I misunderstood with Goldberg, that he didn't mamish. What they did was is that he took the offer in a bag or in an envelope, and he put the offer on the rosh of the chassan, but inside the hat, so that it was touching him. But there was no offer. So the shilas that they're asked about the offer is it something that everybody has to see? Is he walking down the aisle with a big black, you know, like a... whatever.
And that's why I remember he actually lifted up my yarmulke, and he said it's not exactly
right. Right.
It was underneath.
Right. So that's what it seems to be. So that's what Rav Aaron did. So I remember. So when Rav Goldach was doing it, so he took out. I remember it was an envelope. I have a picture of my house if you want to come over. I have a video even. So he opened up the packet, right? Like before Tisha B'Av. My wife said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm making ashes for because you're gonna burn the house down." So maybe. Anyway. And so he put it on my head. My father says in Hebrew, because Rav Goldlich, he says, he said to me, "Is that what I want?" Because he had heard Rav Aaron say, "No, you don't have to do that. You can put it, don't worry about your hair. It's going to be fine. You're putting it under the hat, whatever." So there's different minhagim about how to do it. The question is, though, that can get back to the question, is that, in fact, something we have to do nowadays? Is the Shaviras Hakos, is that similar to it? So he quotes, the Mishnah Berurah says that not only do we break a glass, by the Tanaim we break a kli, he doesn't say exactly what, and he says, just in case you're bored, it's not Baal Tashchis, don't worry about it. And so the question is that, let's go first to discuss the glass. So the Gemara says in Brachos, and this is a very important Gemara, because this is somewhat of a controversy, in that the Gemara says like this. The Gemara in Brachos says in Daf Lamed Amud Beis, continuing to Lamed Aleph, the famous story about Mar Berei de Ravina. So his son was getting married, and the Rabbanon, they were being joking around. So what did he do? Right? He took a coast that was worth Arba Meozuz, a very expensive coast, and what did he do? He broke it so that he could, and it says, Be'atuve, and they were saddened. They said they were going a little bit too crazy, and they told similar stories, same thing happened. Kosmos over here says they broke the coast. Mikan nagu lishbor zechuchis b'nisuin. From here we get the custom to break the glass by a chasana. It's a little bit problematic because it doesn't have anything to do with zichron Yerushalayim. The stomach doesn't have anything to do with zichron Yerushalayim. In a way, maybe you could taina, but not the same zichron Yerushalayim. You can taina that it does have to do because azimala shchog pina. The nowadays, as the continuing Tavkuf Samach says, we're not supposed to be too happy, but that might be an Indian. Even when the Beit HaMikdash was around, we didn't want people to go too crazy. And we said before that by a chasana specifically, when people feel such a simcha for the chasana and kala and the dancing, and so we have to be very careful where that leads to. And therefore, that might be the reason having nothing to do with Zichron Yerushalayim. So that is going to be the question. If you're going to tell me that that's the reason for the breaking, is that we shouldn't be so happy, so then we're going to have a question. The question is going to be, where is the Zichron Yerushalayim? So first of all, the Orchas Chaim in Hilchos Tisha B'Av says that the Rishonim, as we know, bring four specific ways a person can be Zichron al HaKorban. As we quoted from the Shulchan Aruch, right, the offerer, one that's not quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, but is quoted by Sefer Menhagim and different of the Rishonim, they used to put a crown of Zayas on the head of the Chasim, again, with a mappa that they used to wear, the black mappa on the head, and of course breaking the glass. He writes, just parenthetically, the breaking of the glass that was used for the Shabbat Brachas. So we'll discuss this briefly afterwards, why we don't do this anymore. I don't have a great answer for it, but that used to be the minhag. The minhag used to be, either you would use the Shabbat Brachas glass, or the glass of of the first Brachas. So I saw in the Baruch Hashem, there's a lot of Sefer Minhagim, and even if you can't read Hebrew, there's a lot of English Sefer Minhagim. So Rabbi Chil has one, and Maurice Lamb has on the wedding. So they write that, they write two interesting things, but one of the things is that Rabbi, Maurice Lamb writes, so he says that he thinks that this should be the Minhag, that we should use the glass. First of all, it's a lot more dramatic. If you take the glass that you just either use the Shabbat Brachas, or you were Makadish on, and you use that glass mamish, it does set a tone. So he says, so tell the caterer to prepare a bucket, because the Chasam Kal only have a sip, and pour the bucket out, put it up, what's the big deal? We know the big problem that used to be, only in the modern Orthodox circles, where they were using bowls for a long time, right? They found out the caterer says, the Chasams were having such an easy time breaking the glass, because it was only a bowl. This is very, very problematic, because that probably doesn't help anything. That's simply not such a great thing.
No, but zichron.
What?
Glass bowl?
Bowl. A light bowl. The caterers were so cheap that they didn't want to spend $5. The truth is, the caterers are right. really, la halacha, you should not use the caterer's glass. You should bring your own glass. That's part of the to break his glass. Ha! Hey, who cares?
Also, the glass is not thick and hard.
Right, right. So you got.
Then it shouldn't make a difference.
So yeah. So the Darkei Moshe Aruch says that based on the Kolbo, that people have the minhag to break the glass, and this nowadays is in place of putting offer on the head. And this is what the Kaf HaChaim says, and the Aruch HaShulchan quotes this, that this is what our minhag is nowadays, this is the way we define Zechron Yushalayim. What do they say about the Gemara and Brachos? So that would be the question. Maybe there's a dual aspect, there's two reasons for it. It's an interesting question. The Chai Odom, I pointed out the Shishra of Shir, says a very, very strong Lashon in the name of others. He says that he doesn't understand why people are not mocked with the offer. The Iker is having the offer Al Harosh. And how many zugim, how many couples did not work out nowadays because they didn't have proper zichron Yerushalayim? So he's very, very, very strong lashon. So the as we said before, we know that the Ramah brings this minhag of this minhag of the glass. The Prima Gadim mentions the idea of breaking a plate. And he writes that by the Tanaim, you should break a plate of china or porcelain. So we recognize this as a minhag. Maybe we never realized it. Why do we dafka break china by the Tanaim? And by the chasana, we break glass. So there's actually a reason for this. There's actually a reason. So the reason that's given is as follows. The reason that's given is that by the Tanaim, right, so the most famous of the reasons is Rav Chaim of Volozhin. So the reason is brought as follows, in the name of the Gra, that they used a plate, because the plate, first of all, when the Tanaim used to be done, certainly nowadays, in the non-Hasidic world, so we take it somewhat as a joke, right? Even the sometimes the Masada Kedushin says, if you want to give to your friends something, so let them sign the Tanaim, you know. So obviously the Gra didn't feel this way, and the Gra said this is very, very serious. Because when you sign the Tanaim, and if there was a case where you sign the Tanaim, and now they want to get, now you're in a limbo a little bit. Should you get a get? No, you're not a get. Because it's not so partial. So we doubt to break something of China, which China gets broken, you can't fix it, it's all the pieces, it's very, very difficult to put back together. And that's to remind us, this is a done deal at this point. However, why do we use glass by a chasana? To remind the Kala, don't worry, as bad as it's going to get, just like glass can be repaired, your marriage can be repaired, hopefully Ali Day marriage counseling, but if not, Ali Day getting a get. But as to not to cheapen the importance of the Tanaim, so a person should be very careful, and that was the reason that was given.
Who says that?
This is the Rechaim Volozhin. The Groz, this is the Groz reason. The quote is the Groz reason. There's a machlokes as to, obviously we all know, hey, that the mothers break it. Why does the mothers break it? And so there are those that say the father should break it, but what's the reason why it should startle us? Why does the mothers or the fathers break it? The chasim should be the one that breaks it. So it's quoted that the reason why he doesn't break it is because the chasim is not al roshim chasi. Nothing's really happened. So he's engaged there. So big deal. He's getting presents now or whatever. This is. There's no practical, but when it, so he doesn't break it, we have somebody else break it. Some people say that it is Zecher L'Chorban. Others say the same thing. That if when we used to have Tanoim, the way it used to be, it used to be months on end, could be a month or two, could be even more, where they would have an official engagement ceremony with Tanoim. They would break it to remind people, this is Tanoim, it's a very happy time, it's an engagement party, it's a vort, it's a lechayim, it's a whatever the other words you want to use, but don't go so crazy, right? Men stay on one side, women on the other side, men go in one entrance, but keep it simple. So that would be one of the reasons why. But when it comes to the wedding itself, so who breaks it? So the chasim, because that's his rosim chasim. The Aruch HaShulchan said something interesting. The Aruch HaShulchan said that this is a quasi kinyan that is being made here. That the tanoim are finalized. This is why the father should probably do it. And the both of the fathers, or in this case, both of the mothers, see, we let the mothers do something. They break the plate. They say, okay, it's final. Now we have an engagement. So we briefly mentioned before about the different inyanim as far as the type of glass that should be used, what type of glass, when, so on and so forth. So there's a machlokes between the Maharil and the Ramah. The Maharil says you should use the kos of the Arusim. The first kos, that should be used. And when should it be broken? It should be broken bedafka at the time between when they're going to read the ksuva, before the ksuva, as a break, that's when you break it. So we said the Sfaradim seem to have this minhag. This is why we quoted already three times. Rav Avi Yosef is very upset about our minhag, right? Which we're going to get to. Baruch Hashem, I found a very good, finally, I found something to justify our reason. Why do we break the glass and then sing Mazel Tov? So he's very upset by this. He says if you do what the Bnei Sfar do and you break the glass at their Arusin, you don't have a problem. Why don't you have a problem? Because, first of all, most people who, even up their Sfaradi probably, they're like, what? What happened? They broke the glass already? It's not over yet. And they don't think, they're too late to sing Mazel Tov already. So they don't do that. We doubt the thing. So we know the custom, Im Shkachechu Shalayim, we sing so that maybe you prolong it. Some advanced chasanas make an announcement. Please don't say Mazel Tov for 30 seconds. We'll give you, a moment of silence. Okay. The Okay, the thing is that it is quoted. The Taz quotes it. It's quoted as a source that the Chassan used to say in Mishkachechu Yerushalayim. Before he broke the glass, he's supposed to, there used to be a shamash there, and he would mouth it with the shamash. At my wedding, I have this on tape, Rav Goldbach says you have to say, when they sing in Mishkachechu Yerushalayim, so don't just sway back and forth, say the words in Mishkachechu Yerushalayim. It's very important. But the singing, so that's Rav Yosef's invention, is that maybe you should sing. So I pointed out about the story about my friend. He drove a Hasidic Rebbe to a wedding, and he got a bracha under the chuppah, and then they had the last bracha, and then they started to sing Mishkachechu Shalayim. He looked at my friend, who was his driver, and he says, let's go, it's a Zionist wedding. So I don't see that's a Zionist ach. I mean, obviously, Zichron Yerushalayim is, we're all Zionists when it comes to that. So fine. So that's the reason that we saw. So one of the questions, by the way, is, as the Mishnah Berurah pointed out, don't worry, it's not Baal Tashvis. It's not so pashut that it's not Baal Tashvis. What we believe is as follows. The Maariv Chiyas raises, actually, in the Gemara back in Brachos, and the Prima Gadim has this, the Mishnah Zal Sazav has this. How is it allowed, these Tanaim, how are they allowed to break a very expensive glass? How can you spend $400, 400 zuzim, probably even more, and take it and break it? Baal Tashkos, we know that's usur. So they say, no, it's not usur, because Baal Tashkos is done for a reason, is mutter. So if I can give you the example, going back to my good friend, Rav Avdi Yosef, he has the famous tshuva about Lag Bomer, all the things he doesn't like about Lag Bomer. One of the things he doesn't like about it is he raises, what do they do in Lag Bomer and Meron? They take clothes and they throw things in. They throw kalim and they throw all these things in. So he points out that it's not a problem, because if they're taking their kalim, knowing that it's their kalim, and they're taking their clothes, knowing it's their clothes, and they're throwing it in for what they believe is a good reason, he says, Baal Tashkos is not one of the reasons I'm going to give you why it's usur. He gives many other reasons. However, here he says, Yabi Omer quotes, that because of the chashash, that maybe it is a little bit of Baal Tashkos, don't use something that's expensive. If you use something, a cheap glass, so what's interesting is that the Stei Chemed actually says the opposite. He says, V'dafu, you should use something expensive. Doesn't it say? So, okay, you can't break silver, right? I was at a wedding once where they made an announcement because it was apparently so important. This, the kos that we're using at the chasana was Moshe Feinstein's kos. So I didn't know what that meant. So they explained that it wasn't Moshe Feinstein's kos. It was the grandfather, the father of the chasan was married to Moshe Feinstein. This is the kos he used. Oh, put it on eBay. So that was the thing. It wasn't Moshe Feinstein's kos, but that's the way they sold it. Anyway, so the Stei Chemed says, no, it should dafka be something that's a little bit expensive. So that goes back to what we said before about, and I'm not sure what the answer is here about why we don't do this. This is what we should do. At least either use the kos from the Sheva Brachos. I've hardly ever seen this used. But definitely it should be our kos. Even if it's a cheap kos, it should be our kos. It should be glass. It shouldn't be a bowl. Okay. So we said before, the Kolbol says as follows, that the breaking of the glass represents what? Our past glory of what we had of Zichron Yerushalayim is supposed to remind us of that. So I'll end off with a little Kabbalah. The Shlach quotes in the name of the Rakanti that one of the reasons, he writes, the reason why we break the glass is because it kills the Ayin Hara. Right? You break the glass, and any Ayin Hara's B'chasam Kala is broken. Okay, so we don't hold that way. But what's interesting is, Many quotes, the Shulchan HaEzer and others say, Toz B'yodom, that people start singing the Mazel Tov nowadays. Why do they sing the Mazel Tov? However, I saw a Kabbalist source that says as follows. That the reason why we sing this, this is in a sefer called Sefer Chemad Marochos, that says the reason why is because, look what we just did. The Chassan is so happy. He's getting married. This is his Rosh Simchas.